Did you find those openings, the three openings? This lesson I taught, I was invited to speak to a Presbyterian church this summer here in the city. And they were doing, a spirituality or something. And so I was invited to come. And my wife put this on PowerPoint. And so it's on PowerPoint. We're not going to use the PowerPoint this morning. I'll just give you the scriptures. So we have three openings. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. If you're taking notes, you can jot this reference down. Ephesians 4, 15. And 1 Peter 2 and 22, or excuse me, 2 and 2. And then Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. I'm going to read those three chapters, or excuse me, those three references for our actual foundation. I call this Time to Grow Up. Time to Grow Up. It's on spiritual growth. And so our text here, we're going to read these three reference sections. It says here in Ephesians 4:15, New Living Translation, growing up in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. So Jesus is our head. We are his body. You know, Brother Hagin used to say, the head and the body are one. Your head doesn't go anywhere and does anything without the head. And the body doesn't go on its own without the head. Your body, your head is still called, if your name is John, your head is named John too. Your body is John and your head is John. So we and Jesus are one. God identifies us with Jesus, and so we should resemble him. And so it says here that that Jesus is the head and we are the body. So Faith City Church as a body, specifically speaking, this church called Faith City Church is a part of the body of Christ. We represent Jesus in this city. We're one segment of the body of Christ in this city. There's a lot of churches in this city. They have different emphasis, but the same scripture, the same body, we have a little bit of a different emphasis on different things. We have a certain kind of calling. So our calling in this church is a teaching church, a training church, a church who emphasizes the word of God. My calling is to be a teacher, and, you know, of course, that's why we're producing books and doing different seminars and stuff like that and have a Bible school, and we train leadership every month. So that's our emphasis, is training and teaching people. And if that's why the Lord called me to be a teacher, and I should resemble some kind of a teacher some way. Am I a teacher? Am I your teacher? We'd be good friends then. Amen. So 1 Peter 2 and 2, it says, as newborn babes or babies. You know, so I'm going to tell you something. As a teacher, you know, I can be boring. I realize that, you know, I could come across as boring. And I don't want to be boring. But if you love the word, it won't be boring for you. So I take my time deliberately when I teach. I don't just kind of scrabble through scriptures. I read every scripture. I explain some background, and I try to teach very slowly, because I know, you know, we take time on the scripture. And so if you want an evangelist, then you're going to go to an evangelist type of church. So you can't have Pastor Ken every week. You know, Pastor Ken, I just thought, wait a minute, go back to that scripture again, go back to the scripture, what scripture did you say? So, I kind of take my time, so you can just be relaxed. Sit back and enjoy the trip, guys, okay? All right, so did you find 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2? Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Now, just let me remind you that not everybody in the body of Christ is experiencing a full salvation of Christ. They're alive in some areas, they're growing in some areas, but some areas they're really lacking. So there's a full growth of the experience of living for Christ. You might have victory in one area, another area you're not having victory. You know, so you have to, some people are good with money, other people are bad with their health. And so we need a good balance in the body of Christ. Some people are good musicians, and there might be too much curling. I just said that because I know some people are going curling. I was invited to go curling yesterday. Rachel Holman asked me to be her on her team. You know who Rachel Holman is? How many of you know who Rachel Holman is? Lift your hand up. So, okay, so she's my niece. She's a curling champion in Thunder. No, I'm just kidding. She's not my niece. There's no lies. I mean, we enjoy her. She's a good curler. So 1 Peter 2:24 says, like babies. And now in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. Are you enjoying this already? I mean, it's nice and slow, right? So I promise to finish this lesson. It's going to be a miracle service. You have been believers so long. Paul is talking to the Hebrew Christians here. Now that you ought to be teaching others. That he's talking about being responsible. Having some spiritual responsibility for other people. You know, we like to grow up, but let's help somebody else. Let's help other people. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. He's saying that you ought to be further in your progress, in your spiritual development, in your spiritual growth. And he says, you are like babies. He said the same thing here in verse 14, like he said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. He says that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Then he says, the King James says, that you may grow thereby. That you may have a full experience, verse 2. He's saying the same thing there. So he's talking about babies as well. And then he says here, you're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. You know, when you teach certain subjects in churches, some churches can't take it. They can't take it. They think you're mad at them. You think you're reading their mail too much. You're exposing them. They get offended. I had people come and talk to me lots of times. Say, why are you talking about me? Not just one time. I mean, several times, over and over again. Like, I know you're talking to me. I know you're directing that message to me. I don't know how many times that happened, but no one in here. I said that. You're all growing up already. Right? Right? Yeah. See? So anyway, you know, it's supposed to talk to you. I'm supposed to be talking to you. So if it fits your shoe, that you wear it and say, thank God, Lord, you're actually talking to me. We don't mind it if somebody calls the audience and say, there's a healing for you right now. And you set up and you say, oh, God's moving right now. There's money coming to you. Oh, praise God. But when you say, hey, listen, you need to pull up your socks. And you need to start giving and working in church a little bit. And you say, oh, who do you think you are? Amen? So we need some teaching, right? We need to train. Verse 13 says, for someone who lives on milk, how many of you are living on milk still? I mean, you know, you don't go home and there's one baby right there with the milk. And only one person I know here is living on milk. I mean, the baby doesn't grow up with full set of teeth. I mean, they're born right out of, you know, seconds and a nice set of teeth. So, you know, babies have a certain kind of, you know, thing about them. They're helpless. They can't eat solid food. So he's saying there are some Christians who can't eat solid food yet. You got to teach them the same things over, little things over and over. So he's trying to give us a picture here about some about spiritual growth. And, it says here, you're still an infant who doesn't know how to do what is right. So all the spiritual growth is about learning to live right and do right. That's what spiritual growth is all about. So I gave you these references to show you, like some of you might be sitting there in your little pious spiritual self and thinking, you know, this is something that someone needs right now. Why aren't they here this morning? You know, but you're the very person that needs to hear this. You're here because you need to hear this, right? And I need to hear this. And as soon as we think we have arrived, we're in trouble. Like, you know, I need this as much as you. And we can fall back spiritually so far that we never arrive. This is something we do forever. And we never come to a point where we say, oh, I'm all grown up now, I don't need anything. So we need to hear this over and over. Now, the reason why I'm giving you this is that we need to grow up and we need to grow to be like Jesus. We need to resemble a Christ-like character. Spiritual growth and the development of our born-again human spirits is the real purpose for spiritual growth. So there's too many people who have failed to grow up in the body of Christ. And they're still dependent on other people, just like the Bible says, they're to do basic things for them that they should be doing on their own. They're depending on other people to do things for them. And as people in God's house, if we fail to grow up spiritually, there's some things that God cannot do without us because he is the head, we're the body. We're the ones that do stuff for Jesus here in this world. You know, if the Holy Spirit will just do it on his own, then let him do it. No, he wants us to do it through him if we're going to reach our city, if we're going to reach maturity. As God's people in God's house, we cannot fail to grow because we need to do things. A baby church cannot do things for its city. We need to grow so that we can be helpful and significant in our city. We need to be wherever we need to be to do the things we need to do to represent Jesus. Spiritual growth is essential. It's primary. It's important for us as believers, and spiritual growth does not happen overnight. And none of you should expect someone who is born again to behave themselves perfectly the first week they come to Jesus. They might slip around for a couple of few years maybe. They might go back and forth, but don't get on them because we were not like that. You know, when I first got saved, I realized how much of a baby I was. My pastor told me, my pastor's wife told me, my first pastor, she said to me, this is how I was. I said, I was almost offended that she was pointing out this is the way that I used to be like. And your perception of yourself is really not what it really is. We like to be at another level, but we're actually down here somewhere. We like to think that we're more loving than we think we are, or more of a giving person than we thought we were, or more personable than we thought we were, or more of a nice person. But you know what? There are places in our lives, and we learned this by coming into the body of Christ, joining into the church, and doing things, working with the people together. We realize how much we bump heads with one another because the Bible tells us to be kind and be courteous and be patient with and loving with each other. And a lot of times we're not. We're just saying that, I don't like so-and-so It's because we haven't learned to adapt ourselves to recognize there's something in us that needs to develop. If you're not getting along with somebody, it means maybe you need to grow a little bit spiritually in the area of your love. And be patient. I know you enjoyed coming this morning. You might not feel that way during the service. You might feel uncomfortable. You know, so I mean, just if I'm speaking to you, pretend that it's really not you. Just smile and just say, you know, I'm, you know, it's somebody else that needs to hear this. So we ought to have this essential part of our lives being done. There is a process that takes this process of spirituality or growing up. It takes effort. It's going to take you some time to get off your butt, to come to a Wednesday night service, and to learn things that you didn't think you need to learn. There are some people that call me at midnight expecting me to be at their bedside to pray for them and to pet them on the head and encourage them. But if they were here Wednesday night, they would be able to pray themselves. They'd pray for their unsaved parents, or they would be able to minister to them. And yeah, we would come back an appropriate time to help them, but it's not I'm not Superman. I don't have all that energy. I'm just like you, you know, like if we learn to grow, we'll do what we're supposed to do. Are we growing this morning? So developing into a mature believer is essential in order for us to fulfill God's plan. You know, we'll look at something here in a moment. I mean, you will, I promise you, you'll feel a whole lot better after you leave here. So the ultimate goal of spiritual growth is to become more Christ-like. Somebody's already falling. I think the devil fell from the heavenlies, wherever he's hanging around. You know, I remember hearing a story about a Copeland convention. And somebody was back in the back of the room somewhere in the convention, and they were swearing and cussing and everything else, getting mad. And they asked him, what are you doing? He said, I'm cussing out the devil. He said, don't we hate him? You know, well, anyway, that's not the way you do it. So again, you know, we just say, what is spiritual growth? Spiritual growth is the training and development of our human spirit. So we're made of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. We're spiritual first. Everybody is spiritual, whether you're born again or not. Everyone is a spirit. You don't have to be a Christian to be a spirit. You are a spirit being. You'll live eternally. And you have a soul, which is your imaginations, your will, your mind. That's part. It's not your, it's different from your spirit. But it's a different section of you. And then you have a body. Your body is not the real you. Your body has impulses and tendencies. It'll want to smoke even after you're saved. It'll want to smoke. If you were messing around after you got saved and you like sleeping around, you'll still want to be that if you don't change to do something about your body. I tell you, it takes training to say no. And when I stopped smoking, that's what I had to do with my body. I said, you're not going to smoke anymore. I talked to myself like that. It's like the way I'm talking to you. Nope, you're not smoking. And that's what some of you have to tell yourself about eating. Oh, he's getting on me now. You know, you have to say, no, you're not going to eat that next meal. You need to fast for 7 days here. You know, I mean, you're not going to be that mean. You're going to, you know. We fast, so we need fast. So when a person is first born again, the Bible calls them a baby in Christ. When they're first born again. Although we are born again spiritual babies, we shouldn't stay that way. Just like natural babies, just like the one we see here, we need to go through spiritual process into these stages until we become adults. There's so much confusion in the body of Christ to know when am I an adult. So you could know when you're an adult, when you're in a childhood stage, a babyhood stage still, in some areas. We can know that, and we can help ourselves. So in our world, we value to develop our physical bodies. And if you go to the city, and I'm you know, I thank God for it. You can go to any part of the city. You can find a place where you can go develop your body. like me. You know, you can go to a gym. By membership, I bought a membership. I've always had a membership at the college, at the complex, at Push. I was there for years. And, you know, I'm at another gym now because the other one is too expensive. So I've got cheap in my old age. And, it's, you know, I go to gym. I still go to gym 3 times a week, believe it or not. And my wife and I will walk almost every day, especially when we had the dogs, but we... You know, we have to help each other out now. We walked about an hour last night. We almost killed each other walking in the snow. But we went out, you know. So we develop through exercises, our physical body through exercises and everything else. And so we're big on appearance. Like, I took care of myself this morning, and I washed my hair and everything. I used to wash my hair every day, but it's falling off too many times, so I have to take care of it. So anyway, you know, we like cosmetics. Some of you are so chemically, I don't even know who you are anymore. So full of chemicals. I'm getting allergic reaction come around you. You got eyelashes that are like coming like this. You can't come near some women. You go. Amen. And everybody smells like soap. So I mean, this is, you know, we value these things. We like nice clothes and stuff. You know, we put on jewelry and so on. I'm not much of a jewelry person, but we have all these things. We make ourselves pretty and nice. But you know what? I'm saying these things because this is important to say, because we value all these things, but we have very little value on developing our spiritual lifestyle. We don't want to take $30 to buy this book I have. Well, I mean, you will do it. you know what I'm saying? It's because we think, you know, it's not that valuable for me. But I have a nice message from one of my spiritual daughters in this church, and said to me, Pastor, I'm going to put it on my table and look at it. No, I'm going to read it all the time. It's going to be one of my readings, which is good. I thank God for that. And so Paul exhorts his protege, his mentee. His name is Timothy, a young man. He says, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness, keeping yourself spiritually fit. So we need to have spiritually fit people. So we value, you know, physical part of our lives and our appearance and everything, our intellect. And so we go to educate ourselves and learn different things, you know. We become, you know, learned in everything, like culture and learning about the world. We understand different things. We go to university and we become smart and intellectual and so on. But we sometimes in the church, particularly in the church, sometimes we value a little bit, you know, on the spiritual growth. We think it's going to happen to us just because we come and sit here. There's more than just sitting here that takes growth, that we grow by that. So here's something Paul exhorts his young person. 1 Timothy 4:7 and 8, the Amplified says this: but have nothing to do with the irreverent folklore and silly myths. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness and keeping yourself spiritually fit. For physical training is some value, but godliness, or going to the gym, is valuable, but godliness or spiritual growth, spiritual training, is of value in everything, in every way, since it holds a promise for this present life and the life to come. In other words, your spirituality will affect you, and you'll take your spirituality after you leave here to heaven. It'll affect your life over there. And so this scripture tells us that we should place a higher commodity, a higher value on spiritual training than our physical development or physical appearance. We should value those things. Not telling you not to, but we should place a higher premium on it. Spiritual growth is valuable both in this life right now and also in the life to come. That's what he's saying. So why would the Bible tell you and I, we read different scriptures here, why would the Bible tell us to grow spiritually if there's been a lack, if there's not a lack of growth spiritually? So there must be a lot of lacking in growth. If Paul is telling that to the Ephesians and to the Corinthians, and he's talking to the over there to the Hebrew Christians, and Peter talks about that also to the Hebrews, he's talking, he was a leader there in the Hebrew people. So why would the Bible say to grow? Because the children of God or the church needs growth. You say, growth? What do you mean I need to grow? I've been saved for 40 years. That's a long time. And I've been serving God in this church for many, many years. So, well, when you look at God's word, I think we have a lot of work to do. Number one, people are lacking in their faith and are walking by the circumstances of life, getting whipped by circumstances of life, and getting whipped by their emotional up and downs, and getting whipped by feeling depressed and getting fearful and all that. They're just living, you know, sweating and just living by the falling off the cliff with their fingers at the edge. Like, one of our teachers says, you're living with one nostril above sea level. Number two, many who are born again, they're in Christ, they're in the church. You know, they don't know who they are as God's child. They don't know their relationship to God as their father, and they don't know the power that's been invested in them through Christ. So they don't know how to take authority over their own selves and over the enemy that's against them and over the circumstances that come against them. You can pray against circumstances. They don't know how to do that. So we need to grow. And we see people getting batted around with circumstances of life. They're so bothered they can't even work. They can't go to work. They have what they call mental health days more than ever now. And they're missing work. They can't function on their job when their boss is talking to them. They're not even there. They're there, but they're over there somewhere else. Number three, they're not walking by faith. And they're functioning only on the spirit carnality level or worldly level, living for themselves, even hating and hurting one another in the body of Christ. That's pretty good. This is research, the documented stuff that we are looking at right now. Number four, they resemble more like the people of the world rather than, looking and resembling like the body of Christ that they should be. In other words, if you see somebody in the community, someone who doesn't know you ought to know there's some light in you. They ought to tell that you're different. And they can understand and, know that you're a born-again Christian and you identify as a believer and you conduct yourself in a certain way, not like everybody else. You're not talking behind everybody's back at work. You're not cussing down the prime minister. You're not doing, things that are not a representation of Jesus. If someone saw you as a Christian and you're always bumming for money and you're always going through crisis and you're always sick and you don't know how to access spiritual blessings from God and you don't know how to help yourself, you're full of anxiety, and so why would someone come to Jesus if you're like that? And so people around you, you're attracted, you're the light of the world, you're the salt of the world. You have this distinction about you that when they see you, you're a good representation of Jesus. And they say, you know, I want to be like you. I want to know your God. How do you be so happy when you have all this trouble? How do you make it? And that's a good attraction. You're an advertisement. That's what the Bible says. We should be walking epistles. We should be demonstrating God's power, not just causing miracles to happen. In that sense, you know, we think about those things. That's important too. That's another section of it. But let me tell you just good news. There is a starting point in your life. When you get devoted to Jesus Christ, when you get devoted to the things of God, you can get out of carnality, you can get out of worldliness, you can get out of babyhood, which you were stuck in if you've been in there for 25, 30 years. There are Christians in churches that are stuck in their babyhood years they're still in church for 40 years, that they're still babies. They cry about everything. And they're afraid of everything. But we want to be victorious like the Bible says. Right? So you need to do something, as we prayed earlier, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Let's look at that. This is where we begin. This is how we begin. If we want to get out of this state, this is something you do every morning. This is something you pray every day. This is something you focus on every day. He says, dear brothers and sisters, he's talking to believers, I plead with you, he's begging them, to give your bodies to God. Your bodies, what do you mean your bodies? Well, your body, everything about your body has impulses. It's designed to crave and desire pleasures of this world. I'm not talking about that you shouldn't enjoy life. I'm talking about things that pull you away from God. Because of all that he's done for you, let them be a living, holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is a true way to worship God. So when you give yourself up to God every day, say, God, I'm giving my life to you today again. Now, it's not something you just do one time, come to the altar, Lord Jesus, I give you my life in Jesus' name, amen, and go away and forget about it. No, this is something you do every day. If you don't do this every day, then you're not going to grow. You won't be committed to it. He says, verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Why would God tell his children not to copy the world if it happens automatically? Just because you love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. When I read his word, I cry. So it doesn't matter if you cry or not. Are you devoted to Jesus? But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. I thought I was already changed. Hey, no. You're born again. Your spirit is brand new, and you're going to go to heaven when you die. But your mind is not changed yet. By changing the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3 says, therefore I, a prisoner serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit. You know, when someone says something that you don't like, or they rub you the wrong way, it's easy to get out of the Spirit. Right? Binding yourself together in peace. You know, these things don't happen overnight. Having peace is not something that you just say, oh, thank you, Lord, for peace. That doesn't happen overnight. You have to work at getting peace. You have to discipline your mind to stop thinking those ugly thoughts. You got to say no to your body when it wants to drink alcohol. You got to say no to your body when it craves a cigarette between the break here. You got to say, no, I'm not going out for smoking anymore. We have people in this church, I mean, that are new, let's not get on them, but I'm going to tell you, I used to be that way. Because I'm not mean to them. They have to get up out of here and have to go for smoke. Now listen, you don't look at down on them and say, look at those people. Huh? Look at those people. Look at that. Hey, Ken, look. And they're leaving butts over here. Okay, so they're not growing up. But if we keep them here, they're going to grow up. We don't mind you smoking outside the doors if you're coming to church. But if you're just smoking outside and looking, peeking in the window, then that's a different story. Right? So we need to take time to help our people. And sooner or later, I used to smoke, you know, I was like in a Pentecostal church like this, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And after the church, I go. I mean, I was that way. I loved smoking. But I was born again. Some of you, you don't smoke, all right, but honey, where's those hamburgers? I mean, we're all motivated differently, right? All right, we have our bodies. We have to train our bodies. That doesn't happen overnight. And we say, pray for me, the devil's after me. And every time we have an offering going wrong, we just get mad at the offering. Oh, man, well, what do you think they are? No, some of it belongs to God. Did you read your Bible? If you didn't have any breath that he gave you, you wouldn't be able to go to work tomorrow. Everything belongs to God. And if he said something, then you need to obey him. You know, we need to recognize some things here. You're not God, right? Anyway, let's carry on. Be humble and gentle, verse 2. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because you love. Make every effort, verse 3, to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. So here, according to these two scriptures, particularly Romans 12, 1 and 2, the first thing we need to do, we have to make a commitment to God by offering our natural selves to God. All our desires, all our impulses that we have, physically speaking, all we want to do, we need to give our lives and our will to God. We need to do that. The second thing, so the first thing is make a commitment, a dedication, a commitment to God that I'm going to grow up. Not just one-time commitment to Jesus by getting saved. Now, there's another commitment, and that is to make yourself available to God. God, I'm offering my body to you right now. I used to offer my body to drug addiction and to drinking and to, do whatever. Like some people just do whatever they want to do before they were living a life. When I was going to a treatment program and I spent a number of years in addictions, getting sober and learning to live, I learned to serve and did a lot of stuff to help people in the community, in this city. I even volunteered in many areas in this city. You know, we need to learn to serve. And so I came to church and I learned something. I learned that, you know what? I had to make a commitment to Jesus, to God. Not just kind of like, you know, in a flimsy way. Lord, I'm giving myself to you. It's easy to do that. Go sit in the corner and do it. But when you do it to someone, pastor, I'm going to commit to God. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to serve in this church. I'm committing to you, to God through you. I'm going to serve God in this church through you. I might not like you every time. I might disagree with you, and we might not look eye to eye, but I'm committing myself to God, to you. Because we don't always agree with each other. We don't always like each other. You don't always like me. And I don't always like you either. But we're together in this, right? So we don't even think about that part. So we make a commitment to God. You have to make a commitment to God, not in some flimsy way and just spiritually speaking, oh, I'll give myself to God, you know. Well, what do you mean you give yourself to God? There's something, what are you doing for him? Well, I'm praying. Secondly, let God change the way you think. You have to be willing to see God, his way is different than what you think. How he sees people. You know, we're quick to judge people. We're quick to judge people. Oh, look at that guy. You know, if I was him, I wouldn't do that. Look at that guy. He's lazy. Look at him. Why don't you get a job? Why don't you get a job? Well, you get a job first. No, you first. It's like the boys. Me and Pastor Ken, we act this out in that room. I watch him a lot of times. We have a good laugh. I watch him. He watches me. I watch him when he comes in. I even check on my app. Is he in yet? Let's see here. Well, Pastor Steve's there. What's he doing? Oh, he's sleeping. He's there, but he's there. What's Pastor Roman doing? I don't know. He's probably looking at TikToks. I said a lot of, I shouldn't say this, but we're going to race this off anyway. Sometimes I send TikToks to people, different things to people that are funny to me. They say, why do you laugh at that stuff? My wife says, your TikToks are full of Frenchies. I thought you're giving that life up. Anyway, ask yourself this. I got 7 minutes. Do you resemble the world? Do I look like the world? Do I smell like the world? Some of you, after you come out from the smoking, there you smell like the world. So, do I look like the world? You must take personal account of yourself and ask yourself, do I resemble the world in any way? And if I do, I must make some changes. Paul said to those born-again believers, those tongue-talking, Bible-believing church people at Corinth, that they resembled the world. They were tongue-talkers. They believed in miracles. They could lay hands on folk. They cast devils out. They're kind of like, you know, we measure ourselves. If I'm spiritual, then I can speak in tongues. Growing up, it means I can just play the guitar and I can sing. Oh man, am I ever growing up spiritually? I can prophesy. Shamba haba hi haboba. I can speak in tongues and interpret. But that's not a, spiritual gifts is not a way to define if someone's growing up spiritually. So, Paul said they did not resemble Jesus. They didn't look like Christians. They looked like the world. You might look at a believer, if they lack spiritual growth, you might not even think that they're actually born again. If someone knows you, they didn't know you're born again. They didn't know you're saved. So here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, I'm reading the New Living here. Is this okay? You guys okay with that? You're not getting offended too much? You're going to leave? A lot of resignations tomorrow. Huh? Right after church. I was going to buy you a book, Pastor. In fact, I was going to buy two. You know what you can do with those books? Keep them to yourself. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, everybody say, look at your neighbor when I'm with you. Look at your neighbor, other neighbor, and say, when I'm with you too. So when you're looking at somebody, you'll notice something about them, right? You will look at them and say, let's see. I don't really like you today. But if they give you money, you like them, right? You think, oh, they're... Listen, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would spiritual people. You know, I know certain people that just like to talk Bible all the time. They want to talk about the Word. Thank God for that. He said, I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world, as though you were infants in Christ. He's telling them, you're just the kind of person, you don't think about spiritual things, you just don't want to talk about the weather and President Trump and, you know, Ontario governor, the province, premier. So he said, I fed you with milk. So these Corinthians were still babies. He's feeding them milk. They didn't have any teeth spiritually. Not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. You're still ready. Let me just go a little bit more in this depth in this and that. You know, with some people, you can't tell them anything. Some people, you can't tell anything to them. They won't listen to you. They can't take it. They can't take it. Because they're not strong enough mentally, emotionally, to actually take some kind of encouragement in the Lord that will take them another step. They wouldn't take advice. And so he says, notice this. You weren't ready for anything stronger. In other words, they're not strong spiritually. You were infants in Christ. They were babies. They're immature people. They were helpless, and they couldn't really do anything for themselves. He's talking about spiritually. They were not, this is not children's church. This is a real adult church. But he's telling them that's what they were like. So verse 3 says, for you're still controlled by your sinful nature. So he equates people living their sinful nature, like they're not even born again. Listen, he says this. The sins he's talking about is that you're jealous of one another and quarreling with each other. Doesn't that prove that you're controlled by your sinful nature? You're living like people of the world. See, the Amplified Bible in verse 3 says that, the last phrase of that verse of Scripture in verse 3 says, the Amplified says, you're living like ordinary unchanged men, unchanged by faith. So God's looking for change in born-again people that speak in tongues, that play the guitar and drums. I'm not talking about Steve, but it could be him. It could be me. Could be you. God's talking to all of us that we should not resemble the world. Well, you got to take this personally, right? The TPT translation of the last section says behaving like unbelievers. You mean to say that a born-again Christian can look like an unbeliever? Yes, yes, emphatically yes, because the Bible says so. So we have to evaluate our own lives to see, you know, whether or not we're resembling Jesus like we should be. So the Corinthian church didn't resemble Christ. They look very much like the world. We need to see ourselves as God sees us after salvation, and that is we're righteous in Christ. Sometimes churches keep people babies at a baby level, much like parents do with their own kids. They keep them like baby. They keep them so dependent upon themselves. Oh, you want, how much you want? 50? Okay. You know? What do you want me to do? Tell that person about it? Tell them off for you? Okay. Where is that person? Why? What did you do with my kid? 46 years old. Huh? When I was a kid growing up on the res, the parents would just come and kick the door open. Where's that teacher? Yeah. And the kids go home crying, just run across the street. And you could hear them say, who did it? Who did that? Who did that? If you're going to treat your kids like that all your life, they'll never grow up. So, anyways. So a lot of times, let me just say this, that some churches stay a certain level because of the pastoral staff, because they some churches you can't be said, well, otherwise they fire the pastor. Because they have a certain level of government, so they say, we don't like what you're teaching for the last 2 years, so your contract is up, so see ya. And so you can't blame people sometimes because that's how it's designed. And for me to preach like I'm preaching, it's like, that's weird. What I'm doing right now in this session is like, that's weird. That's different. You know, why do you go to that church and let that guy talk to you like that? I tell him what I'm, you know, I'm saying this is how it is here. This is the Bible. And so we need to learn what God sees in us. And so we need to learn who we are really in Christ and start to develop some kind of a spiritual backbone so we can start growing and meeting our own needs and helping other people. Let me just finish this section here. It's about an hour long, but so. Ephesians 4 is going to be very short here. Ephesians 4, 17 and 27. He says there, Ephesians 4, 7, starting with verse 17. With the Lord's authority, I say this. You know what? There are certain people that can talk to you like I'm talking to you. Not everybody can talk to you like this. Your wife can't talk to you like this. Your husband can't talk to you like this. Your kids can't talk to you like this. But I can. I've been given license. I have it on my wall in my office. Ordained minister. You know? Anyway. I say this, live no longer like the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. So why would you tell that to born-again Christians? Don't live like the world. Their minds are full of darkness. Why would you tell a Christian, don't have your mind in darkness? They wander from the life of God gives them because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. Why would you tell a Christian, don't close your mind to God? Why would you tell a Christian, don't harden your heart to God, if it was automatic? It's not. You have to make a choice. Verse 19, they have no sense of shame. Why would you tell a Christian you have no sense, that you actually lost a sense of shame by living a certain lifestyle? They live for lustful pleasures, eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learn about Christ, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him. Throw off your old sinful nature. Why would you tell a Christian to do that if it was automatically? Because your old sinful nature still lives in your body. You have to say no to your body. Your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. We're going back to that again to chapter 12, verse 2. Renew your mind. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on this new nature. You can't do that unless you feed on the Word. You cannot get spiritually strong unless you feed your spirit. Unless you meditate the Word, you feed your heart, you cannot say no to your lust with pleasures unless you strengthen yourself on the inside. That's why there's complete failure in the church, because we're not feeding ourselves the way we should be. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Why would you tell a church to stop telling lies if it was automatic? Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are parts of God, the same body. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Why would God tell his people, do not be angry all the time? That anger is controlling your life. Now watch this. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Country song. Don't let the sun go down, be angry. Down, 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 down. Written by Roma Fisher. Background music by Faith City Tambourine Jamblers. Don't let the sun go down when you're still angry. Verse 27, for anger gives the foothold to the devil. You know, then people say, the devil's after me. He's attacking me. Well, who let him in your life? You did. You open the door to the devil by your anger, the way you live. You know, we invite devils in by the way we live. So you have authority to say no to the devil by not allowing him in. And we've let him in so many times by just, you know, by the way we live. We don't just say, okay, I'm going to be now a drug addict. I'm going to sell drugs and open the door to the devil. That's not how it happens. It happens because, you know, we're angry and we have all these the secret spiritual sins that nobody can tell about. And when I look at, I'm looking at here Pastor Dave. He's a wonderful guy. How do I know he hates me? I mean, he's been here for a long time. I'm telling you, I can't tell if Pastor Hen can. He likes to kill somebody right now. I don't know. But God knows their hearts. God knows your heart, what you put in your heart. But in, you know, in church, you go like this, oh, praise the Lord. Hope nobody sees my tummy. I'm hiding it. Listen, I'm not against anybody that has extra weight. I'm not. I'm really not. I just don't like it for myself. My wife says to me, I don't want to gain any more weight. Because it's hard to move around in the bed to get up in the morning. In fact, as you get older too, it's hard to move around, right? Yeah? Okay, listen. This is serious. This is very serious. Did you learn something?
Yes.
You still love me?
Yes.
You going to come back next week?
Yes.
I'll give you another spanking next week. Okay. Okay, everybody stand up.